In my own personal life, I can a little bit testify, our God is always moving. If God didn't move in my human life, there's no reason for me to come to U.S. If God didn't move in my life, there's no reason for me to move from Texas to California. And then if God never moved, God never went in my life, there's no reason, definitely no reason for me to move from California to Ohio. So I'm just give a little bit my short testimony in many aspects. You know, many things happen in my life, but one thing that I cannot deny, our God is always moving. Whether you move or not, God is moving. Not only God is moving, God is always going. I give you a few verses so you can check later on. If you read Micah chapter 5, 2, there is a mention that he's going forth from ancient time. More accurate translation is from eternity past. From eternity past, when there was nothing in the universe, our God started to move. God started to go. God wanted to go and go. Why? Because God has an eternal purpose on the earth. Only way to carry out God's eternal purpose by himself going and going and going and going again. So I tried to a little bit summarize before I share too much about this going God. How about we have a little bit summary of these two morning messages a little bit online. So can we look up to the outline together? So let's read the whole title first, and then we will see the entire conference subject, and then title, and then we will read the focus, and then title again, and focus all the way up the message, 1, 2, 3. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. Okay, title, being desperate and living uniquely for the gospel. Okay, message one, the vision of the world history. Focus. Okay, message to title. Focus. We need to be those on the earth who cooperate and reflect the desire of Christ in the heavens through our entering into private prayer to be infused with God and his desire and into intercessory prayer to pray to God and his intention so that the gospel can go forth. Okay, message three, title is? Can you memorize title? Is it so long? I've been in the church a lot, not that long, but I've been in different conferences, training, and I read so many outlines. Probably this title may be shortest subject ever I've seen, go. But this short word, G-O, implies a lot of God's heart in it. How much God, if you read through that this time while I'm preparing this message a little bit, I found out that Bible all over the place is God, go. Old Testament, New Testament, go. Go therefore, go, 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 go. Yet, because we were not fully open to the Lord, we might not read this word that much. But actually, if you read the Bible again, you start to see this word again and again. Go. Okay, let's read the focus together. Our God is going God, and we need to fulfill our responsibility to go on behalf of the going and answer the desperate call to preach the gospel to the entire inhabited earth by meeting all the six qualifications of a prepared. Okay, sisters, can you proclaim these four words? This is a summary of the entire conference. Sisters, ready? Go. I think, sister, did you have dinner? Can you do it again? Okay, that's okay.
Seek, pray, go, in coordination.
A little better, isn't it? Okay, how about brothers?
Seek, pray, go, in coordination.
I think we need to give a chance to sisters one more time. Okay, let's go, sisters.
Seek,
Yes. If you remember these four words, I think you very much got the entire conference. I just want the summary of this morning to fellowship. We need to see the vision. God wants to have the church on the earth. To fulfill this purpose, God do whatever he can do. But there's a big principle is God doesn't want to do it by himself. God wants to do it through us and with us. That's why we gather together in this weekend to really to be included into God's heart. In a sense, God may not be able, God in power, he may be able to do it by himself, but that's not God's desire. God wants to carry out his move. God accomplishes a purpose with us. With us means with you, brothers and sisters. Seemingly you think you may not be that important. Whether you speak for the Lord or not, whether you read the Bible or not, it doesn't matter. You may think that way, but people think that way. God wants to include, to fulfill his purpose. So we need to see the vision of God, but when we see the vision of God, we also need to see the real situation of the world. I really appreciate this morning, Brother Tony's summary of two words. If you are involved with the world, you only have these two things. Vanity plus emptiness. If you can find more than that, I need to hear from you. I didn't live on the earth that long, a little bit longer than you, maybe a few years old, older than you. I hope so. At least my testimony it is, there are only two words you can experience if you are involved with the world. Vanity plus emptiness. So we need to see this. So once we see the real situation of the world, our heart can be turned to God's purpose. We don't want to invest our life, which end up into vanity plus emptiness. Do you want it? I don't want it. You know, I can testify this. You know, I was not saved when I was in college. I got saved after I finished college. But whenever I look back to my personal life, many things happened when I was in college. So I always envious of college students. How come, Lord, nothing happened to me in my college? Anyway, so my heart is always to be involved with the college student because a lot can happen. God can move through many of you, brothers and sisters. This college life, as Brother Ken said, this is a golden time, opportunity of a prime time to be one with the Lord, to bring your peers into God's purpose, especially into his kingdom. So I didn't get saved. So after I got saved, Lord, I want to give my life to you. So Lord, give me a feeling. Why don't you do something with a college student? So I'll give you a few stories. Some of you. So one time I went to college campus, you know, have a good heart. I like to share for a college student. I love them. They must love me, kind of full of expectation. One time I stopped by the dormitory to look for some positive new one. And then one of the RA came out and he looked at me. And I look at him, and then he said, "Are you looking for your son?" I thought I'd never be that old, but he mentioned, "Are you looking for your son?" Kind of, I lost my gospel spirit. I turned around. I almost went home, but I didn't go home. And at that moment, I realized it is. Well, I may not be the prime person on this campus. I have a heart. I like to preach the gospel. I like to shepherd people. Okay, but Lord, according to the Lord's sovereign, I may not be the one. Who will be the one? You brothers and sisters. You are their friends. They can listen to you. They don't call you there. They don't say that, "Are you looking for your son?" I explained exactly, "Are you looking for your son?" twice when I was in California. So I realized I'm not the right one. But I have a burden for college campus. As long as the Lord continues to shepherd me, I consecrate my life to do everything on college campus. because I know your time is important. You know, the other day I just drive around the campus, OSU campus. I saw your brothers and sisters kind of walking, thousands of people walking back and forth. Seems like they have no clue where they are going, why they are doing, why they party, even drinking. I just look at them. What a waste. If there must be some brothers, some vessel created, prepared by God, only for God's purpose. When I realized I'm not the right one to approach them. If I try, the more I try to them, the more run away from me. Brother, I don't know how to describe my feeling. They need you, and God needs you. And more intrinsic sense, you need them. Without them, you can never have experienced real and large body of Christ on the earth. Brother, sister, I hope that you remember this a little, my feeling from my heart. I usually don't try to cry that much. God needs you. And they need you. And eventually, when they coming into church life to really enjoy the Lord with you, you realize, I need these brothers and sisters. Anyway, so okay, continue. So before I become too emotional, okay? All right. So we cover, and then the way we take care, we really cooperate with the Lord is we don't have a special way. Our way is God is our unique way. God is, did you hear me? Do you have a better method? I hope you drop everything tonight.
Amen.
Our way is God himself. God gained people, God shepherded people, God bring his material for his building. But God needs us to accomplish his work. That is called prayer.
Amen.
When you pray, God can do something. This morning, Brother shared that when we pray for our friends, something will happen. Raise your hand if you like to see your friends get saved. Sit down. Is any family members are not saved yet? Can you raise your hand? Your family members. Let me ask you. Do you want them to be saved? Are you sure? I have a few family members not saved. My brother and I, we have been praying about over 20-some years. So a couple of sisters didn't get saved yet. Out of six, four got saved, two more to go. Do you want them to be saved? We need to contact God. God is the way to save them. But for God to move, we need to pray. Our way is not better this, not better that. Our way is God himself, and God will do something according to your prayer. So on the one hand, we contact the Lord to be infused with God himself. On the other hand, after we've been infused with God, we pray for God's people. We pray for all these people around us according to God's heart. So now, we'd like to come to our topic, go. Okay. I need to breathe a little bit. Are you praying for me? I really need to pray. Okay. Let's read Roman number 1 and 2 together. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. And are going to preach the gospel
to the whole inhabited earth.
To? The goal of our going to preach the gospel is not merely
to save souls,
but another material for the building of God's house,
to gain more members for the increase of the body of Christ.
Amen. Well, in this juncture, I'd like to share a little bit. If you read Micah and Matthew 24, Isaiah 6, and Daniel 11, Isaiah chapter 6 says, God said, who will go for us? I know some brothers, sisters who haven't been into a kind of gospel life, this word, preaching the gospel, has been always a heavy word upon you. Do you feel that way? So, okay, if I say, Brother Gary, let's go out to preach the gospel, what kind of feeling you may have? Nervous? Anxious? Should I really need to? Why don't you ask somebody else? We always have that kind of fear and kind of heavy feeling. We are in the same boat. So in a sense, I'm the same thing. You know, I have a burden for college students, but whenever I go to OSU campus, I take a deep breath a couple of times. Okay, I'm going again. Okay, I can do it. Amen. I praise God. Oh, Lord. Amen. And then I go to the younger brother and sister, I'm okay, let's go. We are in the same mode. No one can say, I can do it easily. We all of us in same fear, same difficulty. This word gospel, because in a sense, we are not good at it. But I can tell you a few verses I really like to share. And then I'll give it the rest of time, Brother Robbie. Maybe one story. I was very afraid of preaching the gospel. That was about 1994. So, a gospel partner and I, whenever we want to preach the gospel, you know, time to go out to preach the gospel, I really need to find some excuse not to go. So, most of the time, I need to be involved with the church service. I have a headache. There are all kinds of things. But one time, I had some really inner urging from the Lord. My gospel partner said, "Why? Let's go out." Even though my natural man didn't want to go out, but I went out with him. And then I met with one person that day. He was sitting and eating the lunch at the table. And then we approached them, we talked to them, and then eventually he got brought into the church. And then through that person, we gained about 8 to 10 people into the church. I still remember, in other words, I have no credit on myself because I didn't want to go up. But because of that inner urging feeling from the Lord, I just cooperated with the Lord a little bit. And the Lord used that little cooperation to save one person. By that person, the Lord gained about 8 to 10 person right now in the church life. The preaching the gospel, going out with God, going out with the going God, is not so much depend on us. It's a depend on God himself. We just give whatever we have to the Lord in the way of cooperation, and the Lord will take care of us. I give you a few verses. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, actually God is not doing something special work by strong one, actually weaker one, fragile one. And then if you read, this is my favorite verse, whenever I feel it, Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, you know, it is, I know your work. And God, I open the door, no one can shut. Just go. Open door is waiting for you. But right after that, what did the Lord say? You have strong power. You have a biggest capacity. What do you have? You have little power. When we go out with the Lord, cooperate with the Lord, if we cooperate with the Lord with a little power, whatever we have, Lord, use it. Lord can accomplish his purpose. Saints, Lord gave us little power. We all of us have at least one talent. If we use one talent, exercise our little power, Lord has a way to carry out his purpose. Okay, and then let's read Roman number 3 together. And then brothers and sisters, A, B, C, D, and okay, 3 together. Ready? Go. Today we must answer the urgent call. Is that the last call? Sisters. Amen. Brothers B? The cry of the rich man is called from Hades below. And he said, Then I ask you, Father, to send him to the house of my father. Sisters, okay, brothers. The desperate need of people is called from without. A certain man was standing. Okay, all together. E. May we answer his commission from above, the pitiful cry from below, an irresistible call from within, and desperate call from without to God. Amen. Brothers, sisters, when we go with the Lord, this is not a small matter. You know, when I was preparing this message, you know, I was looking for a lot of material, read this portion and that portion, try to look for very inspiring word. But at some point, I realized that may not be my portion tonight. Probably that may be our brother's portion. But one thing, before I sit down, if there is any way I can convey my feeling to you all, As a little older brother who been to college life, I was a freshman in college in 1984, not too long ago, only 26 years old. So I went through college. I saw so many of my friends. I was not Christian yet. So many things happening. This country, that country, world passing by, I saw. You know, Russia, even Germany, in the whole world history. And then, you know, even I saw so many things I saw. And then in the midst of all this consideration, I just want to convey one simple feeling. That is, when we cooperate with the Lord by going. Tonight's message is not like a stirring up message either. We don't have any intention to stir you up to go, but you need to stay until to the end, so I cannot let you go. Mainly, we like to touch and, you know, appeal to you all to really consider before the Lord. Our God is a going God, but today, He's going from within us. I hope that this matter really will be clear, even pray before the Lord. God is not going outside of us. God is going from within us. That's why our Christ, from eternity past, according to His eternal plan, He came into time, He went through all the process. He came on the earth, He lived a human life, and 33 and a half years, and He died on the cross. And He got resurrected. And then in resurrection, He became the Spirit. And in ascension and through the descension, He came into each one of us. You know why He did that? He went through a tremendous process by paying tremendous price. One of the main reasons He did was so that He could come into us. From that point, from the day God came into you, He can continue to go from within us and through us. You know, you look at the, you know, I'm naturalized American, but I do have a burden for campuses in this. I don't know why, where does it come from? Maybe I must I don't know. I just have a burden. Amen. So I've been traveling around. I go around. You know, there are millions and millions your age. I've been to Florida. I've been to the, I didn't go medicine yet. So I didn't go many places. East Coast, West Coast. I've been to many college campuses. There are many young people like exactly your age, yet who has no idea what God is doing on the earth. Not only this four urgent call from outside within call, I hope that you can take a personally receive. There are millions of college age brothers like you having calling us. Can you come to speak the gospel to me? Can you preach the gospel of the kingdom? Can you preach the God's purpose so that I can find the meaning of my life? They don't know how to say it, but their spirit has been telling out, I need someone to tell me the meaning of my life. But the way God carry out, the way God responds to those millions of young people is calling it through us. Because God doesn't do today by himself. God wants to do it from within and through us. So now tonight I'd like to have a simple question, and then you don't need to answer to me. You don't need to answer to aloud. But why don't you answer to yourself, eventually to try on God. When God asks you, who will go for us? Who will go? I hope that brothers never say, no, I'm not the right one. Rather tonight, tomorrow morning, fellas, at least before you go home, there are some fundamental realization that I'm the one who need to go. Actually, I'm the one who got called to go. If you have this kind of realization, I decided to go to college campus. You brothers better go, and I'm going. But I hope you go. I'll be with you. I can do whatever I can do. I'll pray for you. I take you guys to a nice restaurant called in Kauai. The best restaurant is Wendy's. I take you to Wendy's. I'll do whatever we do. But brothers and sisters, never miss your golden opportunity. As a college student, you can reach by just one arm, you can reach your friend. Just what they need is what you see. Just tell them. My meaning of my life, I found the human spirit. I found Christ living within me. I found a group of people who pursue the Lord called the church life. That's exactly what they want to hear from you. So you can tell I'm all over the places. But brothers and sisters, I love you all. I really do. So I'm not perfect, but I really like to be involved with the life with all of you. But from time to time, you really remember millions of your age brothers, even in this country, coming to campus, they spent all their life, 4 or 5 years, but not one time they hear even they have a human spirit. And they suck into the world, and then they live that way until they die. They need you. So anyway, I may stop here.
I believe we all can realize how heavy the burden is for this weekend. I don't wear these very much, so amen. Amen. Amen, my brother's burden. We have such a heavy burden, and we don't want to stress you out, but we like to pass on the burden to all of you. Even I'm looking in the room, and it's complete beauty. This is absolute precious, full of diamonds, this room. I like to say something here in the outline, the point number four, Roman numeral four, and then expand on it a little bit. It says, can we all read that together? Yes. And I hope you get your Bibles out and read John 15:16. Whenever you come to a conference, always bring your Bible. And we have no requirement of what type of version it has to be. Bring your Bible. Because everything we're speaking is according to God's Word. So, could we read John 15:16? Can we just read it, whoever has it?
You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I said you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Here in verse 16 it says, you did not choose me. What this implies and what this says is this has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your opinion. It has nothing to do with your preference and your taste and your idea. Here it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Let me tell you tonight why we are here today. Even I'd like to tell you why we've all been saved. We're all here, and we're all saved. We're all the Lord's believers because we were chosen. The Bible says we were chosen. He chose us. And in choosing us, he marked out a specific destiny that eventually, one day, we would get saved. And we would become believers. One day we would get saved and the Lord Jesus would come inside of us. And he would cleanse us and wash us and fill us with himself. And we would become living branches in the vine. This is according to his choice. You know, God wanted a vine with branches. He is after something. And in order to fulfill that purpose, he chose us. So every one of us today, sitting here, has been chosen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay, do you believe you were washed by the blood of the Lamb?
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins?
Amen.
Do you believe you were chosen? We were all chosen. Every one of us. Look at everybody. Look at each other. You're all chosen. Turn around. Look at each other. Chosen. You're all chosen. How about that? How about that, Danny? You've been chosen. Praise the Lord. How about all the chosen ones say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, we're chosen for what? Here it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit. I chose you, and then I set you. And according to the context here, and the usage of this word, this is in the same sense as grafting. He chose us, and he also set us. He actually grafted us into this vine. And he did it so that we would bear fruit. And I will tell you, why are we saved? We're saved because the Lord chose us and he set us here to bear fruit. And let me tell you specifically, every one of us were chosen, and every one of us were saved, and everyone was set in this vine to bear fruit. You see? And it's not according to you. It is not according to me. It's according to him. Where you happen to be today, why you were born in the time you were born, why you happen to be in the city, why you happen to be in the school you're in right now, that's according to God's choosing. And that's according to his setting you forth. That means you were set in the vine in that specific place that you would go forth and bear fruit. And there's fruit in that place specifically ordained by God for you. There are ones at your campus that, and the Lord is not foolish. He knows exactly what he's doing. You're in that campus, you're in that classroom, you're in that dorm. You see? And some of your dorm mates are, you know, wild. I know a brother has a dorm mate, and his dorm mate, and he comes in 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and wakes him up. Is that right? Another brother has a dorm one, and his roommate is a bit of a cross-dresser. And I'm not trying to make fun. Why are you in that room? This may be funny, but I will tell you honestly, you're there for that person to get saved. That person is there for you to preach the gospel to. There are specific ones assigned specifically by God for us to bring to the Lord. And they will become the increase and spread of the vine. Do you believe that?
Amen.
This is the Bible. We were set forth that we would bear fruit.
Amen.
So we have to see this portion in John 15. There's such a burden. And I've just been contemplating and even struggling. How do we convey this to all of you? This golden time in your life. When you're 18 to 22 years old. When you're right there. Right next to so many students, and the opportunity to preach the gospel to them, that they would not just be saved, they would become remaining fruit. They will become a reproduction of you. How about that? So praise the Lord. We've all been set forth. Who believes that? Who's been set forth in Champaign? How about at Northwestern? How about it in Ann Arbor? How about Ohio State?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about at Wright State?
Amen.
Amen. We've been set forth, right, Aaron? You're in biomedical engineering, right? Okay. And you're a UTI? What is that? UTA. What, a UTA is a kind of a undergraduate teaching assistant. Okay. And there are students who look up to you, right? Yeah. They look up to you. Well, let me tell you, why are you there? You might be there to make a little money, right? But let me tell you, the Lord has you there to bear fruit. That's why we're there. So I would just like to convey to all of you that we need to see and we need to treasure and appreciate who we are. We are branches chosen, and we've been set forth. Right there to bear fruit. And where is this place? Is it Fargo? Who is from Fargo? Okay, you were brought from India, right? In Fargo to do what? That's where the Lord appointed you to be. So you can bear fruit. Isn't this wonderful? Let's read on here a little bit. And here it says, the Lord has appointed us to go forth and bear fruit. In order to bear fruit, we must meet the following 6 qualifications. The first qualification is A. It says aggressive desperation, right? We must be desperate to go out and contact people for the sake of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Can someone read that? 1 and 2. Whoever has it, just go ahead. Name the word.
Be ready in season and out of season. Commit, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching.
Okay. Romans number 4 says, the Lord has appointed us to go forth and bear fruit. But in order to bear fruit, we must meet the following 6 qualifications. We first need to be desperate. I will give you a testimony. When I was younger, and I heard that I was appointed to bear fruit, specific ones, but it was very difficult for me to accomplish that. But eventually, the Lord, in His sovereignty, allowed some situations in my life to cause me to be desperate. You know, I didn't care. I didn't have much feeling. So the Lord did something to cause me to be desperate. I became so desperate that I went to the Lord and prayed. And I asked the Lord to release me, even to preach the gospel. So here in these verses, it says that we should do what? Preach the word in season and out of season. You know what in season means? When it's favorable. And out of season means that it's not a favorable opportunity. But we should preach the gospel in season and out of season. Whether people are favorable or not. Let me tell you something. I was at OSU. I was going to school there. And at one point, I lived in this house that was on Fraternity Row. And I don't know why the church at that time bought that house, because it was not where any of us should be living. Because it's just fraternities and sororities, and they were, you know, a bit arrogant and a bit into themselves. And it just was very intimidating. So none of us would avoid the street. It just seemed like an out of season. Total, not open. But one brother and myself, we eventually got desperate, because we would actually go to freshman campus and we would preach the gospel over there where it was easier. But we would not go right on the street. And when we would pray, be desperate, and then eventually the Lord spoke to us, you need to preach the gospel on this street. So we really prayed. And we would go out, but we had to really pray quite a bit. Then we went out after much prayer, and we would walk right up to the fraternity. You know, they had the fraternity had a kind of a wall, and they would sit there, and they would just criticize people as they're walking by, and sometimes sorority girls would be going out rushing for their sorority, and the boys would hold up signs from 1 to 10 and then minus. And they would just humiliate these girls. And so there's a brother and myself, we prayed so desperately that eventually the Lord sent us out there, and we would walk up to them right in there with their signs. And we said to them, we didn't say, would you like to fill out a survey? We said, would you like to hear something concerning the Lord Jesus? You know what happened? The president of the fraternity was the first one to say yes. And eventually all his fraternity brothers looked at him. And you know where he took us? We went inside of the fraternity house. And we preached the gospel to him and several. We were in that house every day. And some of them got saved, and one specifically moved out of that house, right up the street, into our house. And then I have all these points, but there are so many stories I can tell you. Then we had another situation that we gave the Lord, and this is on the next point, absolute consecration. We must consecrate our bodies, be delivered from every preoccupation, and mean business with the Lord to bear fruit. We made a deal with the Lord. Okay, Lord, we will give you 1 year. But we won't preach the gospel on Lord's Day. It can be Monday through Saturday. And we're going to go out for 1 hour. Okay? Some of you really smart, studious ones, can you offer 1 hour? Okay, we went out 1 hour. Then in that 1 hour, we would go out every day, every day, every day. Eventually, we met another brother and another one in another fraternity. Just around the corner. They got saved. They got caught by the Lord to such an extent that they were officers in their fraternity. They have their Monday night chapter meeting where no one's allowed in there but fraternity ones. They stood up and said to the entire fraternity, it was a famous fraternity at Ohio State as well, and they said, tonight is our last night in this fraternity. And it says, we have both fallen in love with the Lord Jesus. And we can no longer live in this house anymore. And so they packed up and moved out and moved into our house. These brothers today, these two in particular, they're both serving the Lord. Very much. One brother and his wife and kids are about ready to move to Israel. One brother is serving the Lord in North Carolina. What I'm trying to convey to you is the Lord has such a burden. And I was that age, and that was my time. And I'm not done. But that was my time. Today, you know, I have to really work hard to get Derek to talk to me. You know. You two stand up. Okay, you two stand up. Come on. Turn around. For these two to talk to me takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of prayer. Yeah, praise the Lord. I can understand with a yes. And I do have a daughter, and she's here, and she goes to Wright State University. And yes, people do ask me, are you looking for your daughter? Praise the Lord. That's okay, though. That's all right. It's okay. But I have to tell you, while I was a student at Ohio State University, we brothers really consecrated ourselves. We were specific. We gave the Lord a year. We gave the Lord every day 1 hour except on the Lord's Day. And we went out that time, and the Lord used that time. You see? My point is this. To bear fruit, we need to cooperate. We need to spend time to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. To consecrate literally means the filling of the hands. You know, with your feet you go, but with your hands you do. You see? Our hands are filled up with everything else. But to consecrate yourself to the Lord is to give your and present your bodies to Him. Hand yourself over to Him. Give your hands to Him. And the Lord will fill your hands. I tell you, if you give the Lord some of your time, He will fill that time with His interests. We can tell you story after story while we were younger. The last time I was here, I gave my testimony, and forgive me, my name is Rob Robinson from Fairborn. Forgive me for not telling you that part. But I got gained as a high schooler by another high schooler. And then going to college, I heard very much about I need to go and bear fruit. Wasn't that clear about why, like we are today. But anyway, our burden tonight is that you, by God's mercy, would pick up this burden from the Lord, and that you would take it to the Lord tonight and pray about it. And give the Lord your life while you are young. You see? Next year, some of us may not even be in this room. Even some of you might get distracted if you don't give the Lord some of your time. If you don't give the Lord yourself while you're young, you will, I will tell you, you will waste your life. Our life has a meaning. It has meaning in God's move. God has his purpose. So he chose us for that. And then he set us forth where we are, in the vine, to bear fruit. And that fruit would remain. That fruit will become the increase and spread of the vine. This is the Lord's burden for us. And this is your time and your generation. This is not, in a certain sense, not my generation. This is your, Thomas, this is your generation. You know, Thomas was the president of the Ultimate Frisbee Team. You know, he was so famous and everything else like that, and everybody loved Thomas. You know, Thomas Stang, you know. But let me tell you something. Thomas Stang got saved, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! He got saved. And Derek, that was on there with him, Derek got saved. You know, these brothers got saved. Here they are. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you why you got saved. You got saved at this time in your life, and you, to be set forth in the vine so that you too can bear fruit. You see? So when you said that you are troubled with your relationship with your roommate, I was very touched. Because I pray, brother, that your roommate, you know, the muscle pumping roommate of yours, he needs to get saved. Don't get bothered to him because he just struts around in your room. You know? He struts around and, you know, all this stuff. He needs to get saved. Why not? The Lord, that's why the Lord has you. That's why the Lord has Thomas Stang in that room. Not to be irritated, but to be a gospel seed. So that he can be your fruit. And that he could remain for the Lord's spread and for the Lord's move. You know, Justin, that's why you have that roommate. And I know that roommate would be a big trial to anybody. But anyway, when you see, I hope you've spent some time with the Lord tonight and said, Lord, while I'm in that room with him, I would like to open my mouth and sow the seed of the kingdom into him. And that he would be saved, and he would be brought under your rule, and that he would be living a proper life for you. You see? How about that? Brad, forgive me. You're a freshman at UD, right? Even that's not the, you were raised Troy Christian, now you're going to a Catholic school, right? So, why does the Lord have you there? He says, I don't know. Well, the Lord has you there because you were set forth. You are a branch in God's vine. And you are a living branch there to bear fruit. Some of your roommates, some of your dorm mates, classmates were meant to get saved through you. This is God's ordination. This is what God ordained for you. That some there, not me, but for you, to bear fruit there. How about that? How about that, sisters? Isn't that why you're there? To bear fruit. Not just to get a degree. And I tell you the truth, I respect all the college degrees. I respect that you need to study. And these brothers here know that I'm very, very serious about their studies. But I will tell you, you can give 30 minutes. You can give a little bit of your time, right? Do you believe if you give the Lord 30 minutes a day, the Lord would use that 30 minutes? I guarantee you, if you give the Lord 30 minutes, he would fill your hands. Someone would get saved. And it wouldn't just have to be you taking care of them. You know, Mike Boschlinger would help you out. right? And Neil behind you will help you out, right? And also Derek would help you out, right? Praise the Lord. We're not doing things all by ourselves. Let's read on. I agree with Andrew. I'm jumping all over the place here. Okay. How about we just, I'm just going to read the points and share something along with it. Okay, second was absolute consecration. We must consecrate our bodies, be delivered from every preoccupation, and mean business with the Lord to bear fruit. Okay? C, uninterrupted abiding in the Lord. In John 15, it says, abide in me, and I in you. You see? If you abide in me and let my words abide in you, you can ask. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so, and actually the next point says, being saturated with the word, we must be soaked and saturated with the holy truth, fully equipped with the proper divine knowledge, so that we would have the weight and life and light in our speaking. You know, the word, the Bible, two main Greek words for the word word. There is logos, which is the constant word. That's the Bible. The Bible is the logos, constant word. It's right in front of us. But there's also a Greek word, it's called rhema. Rhema is the instant speaking of God. God's instant speaking. And this instant speaking is the Spirit within us. You see, we have the Lord in us, but we need to read His Word. And the more we read the Logos, eventually the Rhema will be there. You see, we need to read the Bible often. And the more we read the Word, the more we will have something more called the Rhema. And it says, abide in me and let my Rhema abide in you. You see? This is not just the Bible, just not just memorization. We need to memorize. But we need to also listen to the Rhema word. The Lord speaks. The Lord may tell you, open your mouth. The Lord may say, stop gossiping. The Lord may say, turn that video game off. No doubt He will say that sometime. Right? The Lord may say, go to bed. Stop. Just go to bed. The more we allow those words, when we say amen, who in here has had that experience? Has the Lord ever told you to turn off the TV? Has the Lord ever told you to stop talking? Has the Lord ever told you to stop playing video games? Has the Lord ever told you to apologize to your mother? Has the Lord ever adjusted your attitude toward that professor who you feel cannot teach out of a paper bag? Do you understand? Has the Lord ever touched you? Hey, we're complaining. Has the Lord ever said, hey, stop. Don't say that. You see, the Lord lives in us. And the more you say amen to these Rhema words, the more the abiding and the Lord, and the remaining goes on. You see? This is one of the conditions for our bearing fruit. It's not just a matter of memorizing verses, but you need to read the Word to such an extent that the Word that you read also causes the Lord to speak to you. Even, I don't know if you notice, when you read the Bible, don't you also, sometimes the Lord just speaks to you in verses. We need to say amen. Amen, Lord. Amen. You see, the more you say amen, the more you remain in Him, He remains in you. And this is one of the conditions for bearing fruit. We need to be saturated with the Word. We need to let the Word of Christ dwell. To dwell is to remain. To remain is to dwell. It is to also to abide. It's to live. We need to let the words live in us. These are one of the conditions of bearing fruit. We know that we were chosen. We know that we were set forth. But we need to also fulfill these qualifications. Number one, we need to be aggressive. We need to be desperate. And then we need to consecrate ourselves. Lord, I'm a freshman. I'm a sophomore. I'm a junior at school. I'm in Calculus 3. I give this semester or this quarter to open my mouth or to get together with another person and pray at least 15 minutes a day for this person. You see? We need to mean business with the Lord. You can't just say, I consecrate myself to the Lord without getting specific. You have to specifically give Him some of your time. Then the Lord will commit Himself to you. Okay. Then here in verse E it says, uninterrupted abiding in the Lord. We must live a life of constant abiding in the Lord without any interruption. So when we visit people, we bring the Lord with us, and it becomes the Lord's gracious visitation. You know, as we allow the Lord to live in us, and we say amen to His words, and we remain in constant fellowship with Him. You know, always we should be fellowshipping with the Lord, right? You know, when we're having conversations with people, Brad, right? You should always be having a conversation with the Lord within you. Always having constant fellowship with the Lord. Always being open to Him. That's one of our conditions. Okay, next is, we spoke about being fully saturated with the Lord. Saturated is when there's no more room, right? Ryan, okay, what does saturated mean? Yes. We should be so filled that there seems to be no more room. There's no more room. We're just so filled with the Lord. How about that? Okay, and then it says prayer for filling both the essential and economical spirit. For this, let's read Acts chapter 2. How about we look at that? No, yeah. Acts chapter 2. Okay, here we are. Amen, Lord Jesus. Verse 4. Can anybody read that one? Go ahead. Right. The point here is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There is in the Bible the filling of the Holy Spirit. But there is an essential aspect and an economical aspect. You see, when the Lord resurrected and He saw the disciples in John chapter 20, I believe, He appeared to them and He told them to receive the Holy Spirit. So they were regenerated. They had received the Spirit, and the Spirit was already inside them for their life and for their Christian living. You see? But later on, at a certain point, they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was poured out upon Pentecost there, and also at Cornelius' house. That was baptizing the whole body in the Spirit. And that means that every believer in our experience should have these kind of experiences. Number one, we should experience having the Spirit inside of us. We have the indwelling Spirit. Who has the Spirit inside of them? Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay. Do you also believe that you have the Spirit upon you? You know, there's two Greek words, plero and pletho. Pletho is to be filled outwardly. And plero is to be filled inwardly. Okay? To be filled inwardly is to be filled for our life and our living and our existence in the Lord. But to be filled outwardly is for the Lord's move, for our ministry, for our going forth. You know, to go forth, we need to have the Spirit within, and we need to have the Spirit upon us. When the Spirit is upon us, it is for our service. It is for the Lord's move. But when it's within us, it's for our life. We should have both experiences. And a lot of believers only have the feeling that the Lord is within them, but they don't have the experience that the Lord being upon us. And saints, we all here in this room need to have this experience. Okay? Not that the Spirit is just in me, and I'm just day-to-day living as a Christian, but the Spirit is upon me. So when people see me, they see Christ. When they see me, they get subdued. When they see me, they become like a lamb. Right? Like that president of the fraternity, that brother and myself, we prayed probably for 3 hours. Often we prayed for 3 hours. Then we were so filled within and without. And we weren't screaming. We just walked up very quietly and said, "Would you like to hear something about the Lord Jesus?" He was subdued. You know why? We were wearing the Spirit. Not only was the Spirit within us, Danny, but the Spirit was upon us. You see? So the person could not resist. We should have this experience. Don't think this is some kind of Pentecostal thing. This is a normal experience. We should experience the Spirit within and without. And let me just read this little portion to you. It says, prayer for the filling of both the essential and the economical spirit. We must exercise to make, for this experience, we must exercise to make a thorough confession, to be adjusted, cleansed, and fully cleared up, to enjoy the filling of the Spirit inwardly and outwardly. To have this experience, okay, whether we behave or not, the Spirit is within us, right? Whether we tell the Lord we love Him, whether we read the Bible or not, we still have the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't leave us. But to have the experience of the economical Spirit that comes upon us for our ministry, the Lord's move in His body, and specifically our preaching the gospel to our classmates, for this we need to pray. The disciples, they were just there, and the Lord just filled them. But when it came down to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they had to pray. They prayed, and I believe they all got cleared up. And any problems between them all got cleared up. So we need to make a thorough confession every day. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. Forgive me of my attitude. Forgive me of my wrongdoings, the way I talk to my mother on the phone. You know, even the way you talk to your siblings could cause you to not have the outpouring of the Spirit. You see? For this, we need to pray. Who in here wants to have this experience? So for this, saints, I encourage you, you have to pray. You have to have a thorough confession that the Lord would clear up everything between us and Him and us and anybody else. Then we have the Spirit. Then you go to this atheist, or you go to this graduate student, or you go to your classmate, or you go to the doormate, right? And you speak to them, not with some outward power, but the power is with us. Then the person will get saved. I've had this experience. Many people can get saved through us. And let me say something again, a little bit about consecration. Don't think you have to be a wonderful brother and a wonderful sister with no mistakes, no shortcomings, no bad history, okay? You just need to decide that you mean business with the Lord. And you need to give the Lord, hand yourself over to Him. Even you may not have been that great. You may have been that faithful. You may not have been so good. But still, one day you mean business with the Lord. You say, "Lord,
From this day forward, I give myself to you. From this day forward, I'm yours. I give you my life. I give you everything. Every moment, every second is yours. The Lord will fill your hands. He will take you. He will take what you give. And he will use it for his interests. This is, the Lord will do it. So I encourage you, don't look at yourself. Don't look at how good or how bad. Don't compare yourself with one another. Just go to the Lord. I hope all of you go to the Lord tonight. I hope every one of you, no matter how many of you here tonight, have a deal with the Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I am a young person, and I'm here, and I'm at my campus. I'm there. And I know you have put me there. You know that, Derek? That's why you're there. That's why you're there. I love all you brothers so much. I will tell you, the reason why you're there is to bear fruit. I don't like to rob any of you from this wonderful experience. Even I don't like to get in your way. I hope every one of you will bear fruit. It is the meaning of your life. Eventually, you will have no regret that you gave 30 minutes a day to the Lord. You will have no regret. You will be so happy that you gave some of yourself to the Lord. And he will fill your hands. And here it says, going with authority of Christ, we must go with the authority of Christ as ambassadors of Christ, exercising our divine authority. Praise the Lord. When we are so filled, we go as ambassadors. And as ambassadors, we represent the Lord. We represent the Lord to everyone. Every place we go to. You cannot even imagine where you represent the Lord. Here's John Smith. I like to talk to him. He works at Chick-fil-A. He's been working at Chick-fil-A how long? How many years? 10 years. And how old were you when you started there? He was 16. I met him before he started college. Ryan actually was older than him and worked under him. And Ryan introduced me to him. And from the day I got introduced to him, Ryan and myself, we prayed for him. He was a goody two-shoes Chick-fil-A worker. I have never heard a negative thing about this kid. Goody, wonderful, perfect employee. But even this Chick-fil-A worker, you know, he got a degree in mechanical engineering and still at Chick-fil-A today. He does work in engineering, but he on Saturday he still works at Chick-fil-A. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The Lord needs you, brother. You know, while you're at Chick-fil-A, at the risk of your reputation there, you need to be burdened for some of these young, goody-two-shoe kids working at Chick-fil-A. You know what I'm saying? To be gained by the Lord. Don't consider your being there is a mistake. Wherever we are, we were set for to bear fruit. And that our fruit would remain. There's so many material we could get in. And our time is short, and I'm sure I've already passed my time. So I don't even look over at Ken. Ken's smiling at me. Ken, I keep remembering, Ken always tells me, take care of that outline. So I've been reading the outline. But that's what he told me last time, make sure you take care of the outline. And he is an older brother, and I submit to him. And I read the outline here. But I tell you, we are so burdened for every one of you. Amen. Don't leave this weekend without making a deal with the Lord. Amen. Don't leave this weekend without opening yourself up to the Lord and asking the Lord, Lord, okay, I love you and I'm yours and I give myself to you. Even be more specific. When I go back, I'm gonna get with one other brother for 30 minutes a day. Or 15 minutes a day, and we're going to pray. Or we're going to get 15 minutes a day, we're going to go out on the gospel. Or I give myself, Lord, to pray for my roommate. I want my, what's your roommate's name? Jake. Lord, save Jake.
Amen.
Save us, save him from his muscle.
Amen.
Save, I'm not really, save him. Save him to become a crazy lover.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see Jake crazy.
Amen.
Crazily in love with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How about that? You know, and maybe Jake will be so much in love with the Lord, he will preach the gospel to some more students, and some of them may be in Germany one day. You never know. You never know the ones that you preach the gospel, where they will be one day. A brother that got saved through us, him and his wife are going to go to Israel. You know, and I will say, I never imagined he would do that. But he has a burden, and him and his wife are going to go to Israel to be in the church there. How about that?
Amen.
And this came from Ohio State, of all places, where there's nothing. There's nothing to do. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something. And you know, people have asked about Fairborn, you know. What's there to do there? Let me tell you what there is to do there. There is to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You know, if you're serious by the Lord, you can go to Madison. You can go anywhere because you're there for the increase and spread of the vine.
Amen.
You're not there for anything else. You're there for that. So, you know, saints, we need to see the situation and give ourselves to the situation. You know, here's Richard Glossop. I remember him when he was an undergrad at UT Austin. He was a precious, precious, sweet Texas boy. And Carrie Ard and myself, we kind of cared for him. And then eventually he went out to Bible training. And then he came back and now he's in Ohio. Aren't you happy you're here? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord brought you here, brother, not just to get married. The Lord brought you here to bear fruit. The Lord brought you from Texas, you see, and set you for that you would bear fruit.
Amen.
Maybe some of these other students in nuclear engineering, you know, will be saved from their mind, and they will become crazy lovers of Jesus. Anyway, I just want to say this much and read this one last part here. Let's read Romans 5 together. The word, importance of the word go, cannot be measured. Go, go, go. Go to Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the remotest part of the earth. Praise the Lord. I hope many of you will not be afraid tonight and you will rise up and share something. You know, this conference is for you, and all of you need to rise up and speak. And don't be afraid, but be bold.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Such a wonderful word.
Amen.
We can use the two mics to go ahead and come up and share something. For the sake that many more can share, let's really limit it to 60 seconds. Okay, and the brothers of the guitar, maybe you can play your little tune a little bit louder. Sometimes it's hard with the speaker. But when they play the tune, it's not for you to go on to your next stage, it's to wrap up, okay? That way to take care of all the saints so that many more can share, okay?
Amen, hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah.
Señor Jesús.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Ella es mi hija.
She's my daughter.
Yo soy un hermano que sirve tiempo completo.
I am a brother who serves full time.
Hermano, ¿cuánto tiempo esperando este hablar?
Oh, brothers, how long I've waited for this speaking.
Este hablar es un hablar que realmente nos salva.
This is a speaking that really saves us.
Hermano, esta joven...
Brothers, this young sister...
Conoce mucha gente.
Knows a lot of people.
Y este viejo full timer,
and this old full timer
nunca podrá contactar esa gente.
Will never be able to contact those people.
Por eso, aleluya.
Hallelujah.
El Señor tiene camino con cada uno de nosotros.
The Lord has a way with each and every one of us.
Lo que el Señor quiere hacer a través de esta joven,
what the Lord wants to do through this young person,
nunca lo podrá hacer a través mío.
Will never be able to do through me.
Una sola cosa quiero decir.
I only want to say one thing.
Salir. En español la palabra ir también puede ser salir.
In Spanish the word go can also be going out.
El primer movimiento que Dios desea hacer.
The first movement that the Lord wishes to make.
Es que yo salga de mi yo.
Is that I come out of myself.
Y vaya a mi espíritu.
And I go to my spirit.
Y en mi espíritu.
And in my spirit.
Dios triunfa conmigo.
The triune God with me.
Irá por toda la tierra.
Will go through all the earth.